This is a production of Cornell University.
We are now calling the first meeting of the Student Assembly for the 2013-2014 school year to order. We're still waiting on our clerk, but in the meantime, we're going to have Executive Vice President Ballard call the roll. Please respond here with your name and call.
All right. Ballard, here. Batiste staff.
Here.
Jeffrey.
Present.
Benatti. Todd. Gdemski. Harris.
Yes.
Henderson.
Kittinger.
Lee.
Oh, excuse.
Lou. Lucasavis.
Here.
Lily. Murphy.
She's here. Just be on.
Bridget.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
DeFanco.
Here.
Talbot.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Polsky. Wershaw.
Great. Okay. Next order of business is the oath of office. If you could all open your brand spanking new binders and find the oath of office written there, please then rise, and we are going to do this.
Okay.
Everybody ready? Right hand, please. All right. In view of the trust.
In view of the trust.
The Cornell community has vested in me. As well as my personal sense of honor. I, please say your name.
I do solemnly affirm
to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected
representative.
I will engage in open and honest debate
in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness.
I will never purposely misrepresent facts
in an effort to achieve my goal.
If a conflict of interest arises,
I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will speak out and voice effectively
The interests and concerns of the student body.
Address the issues of my fellow students.
And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. And with that, please sign your name, print your name, and put the date. Congratulations, you are officially a member of the Student Body for the 2013-2014 school year. The reign of staff has officially begun. Please be sure to keep those in your binders. We will be collecting your binders at the end when we store them in the fourth floor conference room. Okay, next part of our agenda next thing on the agenda is the open microphone. With that, I'll give that to Executive Vice President Powell.
So if anyone in the audience has anything that they would like to talk about with the assembly or address that is not already on our agenda, you can come up to the front and talk to us. Any takers? Could you say your name and year for the record, please? Thank you. You have 2 minutes.
Section of our agenda is announcements and reports. We're going to have an election update by Director of Elections. Moving.
Good mic.
Thank you. All right. First, to the current members, thank you everyone who came out Tuesday for our two events. First was the executive board about the orientation event, which was a huge success. Saw a lot of people at the street fair. Saw a lot of people there. Got a bunch of names of interested students. Just to continue to encourage your friends to come, a reminder we have 4 freshman seats, 1 transfer seat, and 1 emergency EQ seat open. All materials are due next Tuesday, as the candidates know. That includes collecting your freshman 100 signatures, transfer 25 for eligible EQ. So continue to collect your signatures, and you can check our website, which is fall at the head for more information. If you have any questions, I'll be around. And if you didn't check in with me, as you mentioned, I'll also be here. Just stop by. I'll be over there.
Thank you. And next we're going to have a committee update by Vice President for Internal Operations, Mr. Shevitz.
Okay guys, as all of you probably know, applications are due September 1st. Just to backtrack a little bit, I want to give an update on what's happened so far. Because some committees needed staffing prior to the September 1st deadline, instead of moving back to deadlines, we want to give everyone at least a couple days of classes, as in previous years, to apply. The staffing committee met on Monday to partly staff Spark, Communications Committee, and Appropriations Committee. So those are only partly staffed. Communications Committee is open, so anyone can join at any time. Then the other two, we only staffed a limited number of seats in order to allow for anyone that applied after Monday to be appointed to those committees. And then, so on the 1st, whenever applications are due at noon, and you can apply for a committee at assembly.cornell.edu/staffing. I plan to meet with all the committee chairs briefly in the afternoon and then have the staffing committee either that night or the following day. So to all committee chairs, please see me afterwards to set up a time in which you can meet briefly during the day on the 1st. That's all. Let me know if you have any questions. And if anyone wants to apply to committee in the audience, go to assembly.cornell.edu/staffing and feel free to email me with any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. And some of you might have already seen, but there are some committee porta cards out there floating that have a list of our committees on there. I think the wind or the sand might have blown them all down, but they're there. Either way, check those out. All right, moving on to business of the day. The first order is resolution number one, approval of the 2013-2014 standing rules sponsored by Executive Vice President Ballard. Should all have that in your binder, by the way. I should mention, please use... If you have a pen, we will no longer be reprinting resolutions and agendas anymore, which is why you have the binder. So if you take notes, you can take notes on this and keep it. That's how this is going to work. In order for these standing rules to pass, this requires a simple majority of the total membership that's been elected thus far. So 21 of you have been elected so far, will only require an amendment, just so you know. Any amendments can be made, they only have to be approved by a majority of the members present. With that, you have 20 minutes.
Sorry, if there's not too much to say, the annual members were the same as they were last year. Voted on and annually by the assembly. And really, the only thing that we changed is the outreach requirements.
Before I open the speakers, list, I'm going to piggyback off of EVP Valley and just kind of make sure we note some of the things. Section 1, there's an ethical ethics clause in here now, so please be sure to read that carefully. Additionally, I know VP Batista, VP Outreach Batista, also noted that undesignated at-large representatives now will be planning the T4 or whatever you choose to call it, that event, as opposed to that being an assembly thing that we do together. For the most part, that's pretty much it, other than small changes for PR, which I think are fine. Alright, so with that, if anybody has any questions or I'm going to open up the speakers list at this point, make sure you kind of get my attention if you have to speak, and I will gladly put you on the list. First up is going to be Representative Bonatti. Yeah, the only, and actually really the only new part in that section is just the line that's in Rule 1 that says the four undesignated at-large representatives shall plan at least one Cornell caring community with your spirit for large-scale outreach in this first semester. That's the only line that was added to that section, but it is fairly significant. And I'm going to yield to DPP, if you want to speak on that particularly.
Yeah.
I'm going to yield to her. It's actually her rule, but she knows it more than I do.
So if you're just to clarify quickly, you were saying you want to know what exactly the changes were?
For example, the exact
First off, Rule 4, where we're talking about sending mass email messages, including a press release. I just wanted to kind of talk about how that's going to be practical, especially with the bio-incoming cycle. I mean, if we hear a group on a Monday, we then need to turn out a report to that group Monday night so that by Tuesday they have the opportunity to appeal it for Thursday's meeting. So is the exec board planning on meeting every Monday night to approve the email messages? And the second question I have is Rule 7, where all essay members must provide a link to the essay website and their official email signature. Second, if it's email, your email, what exactly is your official email signature?
Right, so I'm going to yield to answer to
both of those
questions.
Go for it.
Sure, you are. All right, so I'll just start with those rules that I updated. Rule 5 on the general events calendar. On the new essay site, which we just got live last night, all the embedded Google calendar, so we're going to post all the events, committee meetings, general meetings, everything that we're involved in some way on the essay site. We really didn't do that last year, so I figured this would be a better way to share what we do and where we are with all of our constituents and also with all the other staff members. So that's something that either BT, Gallic, or BT will be in charge of. Rule number 6, we have a session today for increases to those comments or questions. So we're going to have someone designated to respond to those in a timely manner. Hopefully, we've done a lot of comments. We didn't have that on the site last year, but we will have it. And then lastly, Jeff's question about the essay signature. Every time you send an email from your Cornell account, people have a signature at the bottom that says like your name, your class, your year. So I think that would be a good way to generate traffic by putting the link to the essay site and your signature.
Okay, so Rule 7 you want for our emails, and then you didn't answer Rule 4, which is as far as, like, for example, looking at byline funding, like, do you expect the executive board to meet every Monday night after appropriations to approve an email message to be sent out?
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's not a new rule. That's something that's been in every draft of standing rule. Essentially, that doesn't necessarily pertain to
that you are sending out via your messenger by the messenger, or so if we are taking an advertising for them, then if you are calling some sort of mass, you know, something like that, or actually writing heads, if some of the VPs really just VP in particular, we tend to send out a lot of varied messages, write ahead of the instances where the messages are conflicting in terms of either date or procedure. So this way it establishes a point for the signal so you can still have an exception to send it to the DM first before it is sent out to the public. And this is also part of the PR policy that I think we went over last semester, but just to refresh your memory, if you are approached by the Sun or any other media outlet, you are free to communicate with them. However, you need to be sure that you are saying that you are saying for you and only you, your opinion, and it is not necessarily that of the ESA in its entirety. If you need to defer questions or further questions or better answers, you need to make sure you're contacting the ESA first. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Next, we're going to go to Calvin.
I have a question about a few questions, but I just wanted to go to 07, the signature law. I think we don't use very elaborate signature, it's just my name, my major. So I guess, do you keep having to require everyone to have an official email signature or the website? Do you consider that like a signature practice?
I would be open to modifying it, but I just, the rationale is that every email you send, whether it's to, I guess mostly for students, if you let people know that you're an SA member, it'll allow them to go to the title direct traffic. So most people have some of the different clubs that they're involved in. So I think that, I think some people don't like having signatures, but if you have a signature, it'll let people know that you're an SA rep, and why not just that? So I do understand.
So is there a call, and you just see that the person
I move that we change Rule 7. I motion that we change Rule 7 to say to read all SA members and provide a link to the SA website and their official email signature when conducting official student assembly business. So that's like if I send an email to a committee, I'll put the link in there. But if I'm not sending an email to a committee, then I don't need to put it in whenever I'm emailing my employer, like, teachers.
Well, we technically can't do that. Technically can't find out from anyone if we were to be down for that. So we can't do that. So I have a motion for a second. In second, at this point, we are going to direct a motion to vote on it. We're going to move to the discussion unless there's a motion. The motion is called for questions. There's a second. All right. There's a consent call for the consent by the trustee. So with that, we're going to vote to vote. So if you vote in the affirmative, you are voting to close discussion and vote on the motion. If you vote no, then you are voting to continue to discuss and therefore hear whatever the dissent is.
Point of
parliamentary procedure. Point of parliamentary procedure.
So you're saying that we're going to vote on
no, we are voting
on
we're voting to vote on the motion that Rule 7 VP Rule 7 is made to amend Rule 7, not Rule 7 in general.
I have a question.
Point of parliamentary procedure or point of information? Which one?
Point of information.
Point of information. Go for it. I think this pertains more to
basically I got an email from Tom and it said like one of the organizations you were involved in is like Mining Scholar, so I didn't know that you were a Mining Scholar. So I said, hey, why doesn't every SA rep like indicate that they're an SA rep in their emails just to other students and people know who they are? So that was just the rationale. Maybe we can talk about whether we want it or not, or we can just continue to vote.
Okay. That is better right now than the one point. We're going to vote. To vote. Alright. So, if you are ready for a closing discussion and voting on the limits, please raise your flag.
If you are opposed, please raise your hand. Any abstentions? By vote 16, you can feel your opposing discussion while you're voting on the motion that the PD Senator has proposed. Alright, so now, not one of the motions is playing. Alright, great. Alright, so,
yes.
Point of the motion.
Yes, can you
repeat the exact change? Sure. PD Senator, if you can repeat your motion, please. Is it just adding what he's conducting?
Yeah,
it's just
a or
last year, where you're not going to be, you know, amount
it's exactly what we're left here.
Okay. And then also another point, depending on what you're talking about, when you send out the three events that they're applying to, are you also going to be working with you to send out the continuous events? Okay. Thanks.
Great. Next on the secret list is VP Care.
I really like the idea of going to your discussion. Do you get to reference any events, or is it just you're telling us where we're going and we're going there? I wouldn't be exactly clear on that.
All right.
So something I usually work with. I want to make sure that I'm spending two events that people enjoy, but also I want to make sure we're getting. Basically, we have a huge resource here in terms of everybody on the campus assembly to go out and reach different groups across campus that don't usually get reached to. So that's really what we're looking for. But if you want to talk to me, if you want to get lunch or something, just chat about where you'd like to be, I can definitely accommodate for that.
Great. Next is everybody's thank you.
So I see skeptical faces in terms of Section 6 and then Rule 2. I spoke with Julia about this a few times, and I think it's really important that we pass this part of it because it actually holds us accountable and it doesn't prevent you from going to other events. So I know we can definitely work on setting up preferences, but being able to go to two events doesn't mean you can't go to three or four events and some of the other events are ones you might be interested in going to. Also, I don't think Juliana touched on this enough, but I think a lot of people were maybe using the outreach events last semester where they were going to them at the end of the month, showing up for maybe 15 minutes and then leaving and not really doing any actual outreach and not actually achieving anything. The changes that are made here represent that and I think give more accountability.
Okay, great. That is the end of the first speaker's list. If anyone else who has not spoken, oh, okay, I'll begin.
Hi,
we're recording. That's great, but I think the most important thing is
No, no, I was moving on.
I think that is a really good point, Rico, but we're asking you to do literally one, like, 45-hour commitment a week. And then, like, at the very minimum. So if I might be sending you to something with the international community, but then again, I'm going to something with Alana, like, maybe not the same place that you had originally thought of going to, if I'm going, I know it's pretty anecdotal, but if I'm going somewhere else, you might have been able to realize a place that you can perform with, you might realize another place you can work with. So I think sometimes, I don't think I know everything either, that's why I just don't do work in relationships. But reaching out to other groups on campus that may have small relationships with what you're doing is really important as well.
Okay. The next one is you can work with the purchase. Sorry. Good.
So I completely agree with the first part of what Representative Bernard said. I didn't think you should reach out to the constituency, go to a community that doesn't interact with. But I completely agree that this should not be mandated and designated by the government. We're all elected representatives. It's the responsibility should be on us to go to outreach and to go interact with constituents and go figure out what community organizations that you need to do something. So I think that this type of handling
mentality
cut off. Okay. I think it's
sort of
they won't be there. I don't think it's a switch more for handling mentality. It's gonna be good for long term to do something. We can put it in the key requirement if we want, and even the outreach requirements are a good thing, and it should be enforced and should be accountable, but actually designating the event have to go to, I think it's a step way too far. It's the responsibility of the representatives to go out of their way to go meet with constituents, to go to student organizations, and to go to our government. It should not be designated by someone else saying you have to go there.
Go ahead.
Just so I can give you things that you need to control, so it's not every
turns out to be low.
within the first month being the first 2 weeks, we could then discuss increasing the mandatory obligation. But honestly, those representatives who have more meetings with two groups and kind of activities that would not necessarily fit into the mold of the outreach event, would be even a disadvantage. And frankly, devote quite a not quite the amount of time to really interact with the student body. And honestly, I do believe that we should be visible to the community, but we are not figured that this is the viewers, and frankly, our time should be primarily devoted to, trying to accomplish things to better the student body here. So I would like to propose that we actually move to amend this. I don't necessarily want to make a formal amendment, but I do believe that we are talking about things can be changed down the road. I don't think that things should be, necessarily as extreme or as perfect, but that they should be kind of incrementally increased.
Okay, great. Next is Director of Elections, Lucia.
I'd like to jump into this debate and try to keep it as short as possible. From what I'm hearing, most of the returning members, it seems like the problem was last year, the office was enforcement, and that possibly leading about which had a hard time making sure that as representatives and makeup that candidate is going to be the best representative in a way that's going to be the most good event. So I guess my question is in terms of the rule of how giving people about these more responsibility in the signing events to help solve that problem and seems like the problem from enforcement.
Possible response? No?
I think that a lot of people have been doing this for me, to be honest. I also think that, at this point, I think that, I was watching as well. Some of them that are trying to do that today, I know personally that I got some of my best initiatives started by doing that. All of those things that I did to the committee, I got done because I went to the same building I participated in that event now. And those events and things that I did after the assembly gathered or after the requirements, which ended up like a lot for the requirements, and then we go to the event and call people and tell them the things that I want to do on campus, they give you ideas, that's what I did on each other, and for you, you have a lot of show.
I move to add Rule 8 to Section 6. Let me back up for a minute. This rule was something that was passed last year, as was standing rules last year. So slightly different section, slightly different numbering, but it was supposed to be there this year, and somehow it was called the standing rule, so I'm just moving to add it back in, or something that we didn't see the year last year. So there's actually a resolution in Resolution 35, seeing ones in present from last year. And it reads, members are required to fill out the initiative tracker weekly by the same time that agenda items would do. Failure to fill out the initiative tracker will result in a half absence. Furthermore, announcements, reports, and sponsorship of resolutions by representatives must correspond with an entry in the representative's respective section of the initiative tracker. The initiative tracker, for clarification for those of you that don't know, is an Excel spreadsheet that I send out every week. I'll go over the logistics of it after this meeting, or at the end of the meeting, wherever I go over responsibilities and stuff, but it's just a way of communicating what you're doing and where you are in your initiatives and projects.
So there's a motion.
This is quite a parliamentary procedure. Do we need to vote on that if it's in our current standings?
It wasn't submitted, it hasn't been submitted technically to the system. We got the information for this from the website. Unfortunately, I guess it was in the office because it's not that one. So there's a motion on the floor to add, there's a motion on the floor to add Rule 8, Section 6, the standing rule. We will open discussion on this.
I call the question.
Motion to call the question, that's in the second, very consent. No, seeing that, seeing that amendment, we're going to vote on the amendment. All those in favor, please raise your flag. All those opposed? Abstentions. My vote is 7-0-0, seeing that amendment passes. I'm actually going to
unless you have a two feet, I'm sorry. Yeah. Trustee Gibson?
You know, a lot of
this is
where we have more security because of the
There's been a call for questions on the amendment. There's been a second. There is a second. Seeing none, we're going to vote on the amendment. The amendment that Representative Pittenger just proposed, which will be reducing or changing the text amendment from all of the members of the two signed out of the requirement to one property requirement. Or one signed out of the requirement first. That part's not changing. going to see you. Alright, so if you are in favor of the amendment, please raise your flag. Alright, please raise your flag if you're in favor of the amendment to reduce the number of required parking coverage. One, two, three. All those opposed. Abstention. By a vote of 11 to 8-0, the amendment passes. The number has been reduced from 4 a month to 2, basically from 2 to 3. You know what I mean. Alright, great. Going back to the original speaker's list, which I'm about to close. I'm about to close this, but I'm going to use the rule of chair authority. I do think your session has gotten a bit redundant and we have exhausted the day and exhausted the time we've allotted for this meeting. We cannot, ladies and gentlemen, cannot do anything else until we approve the standing rule. Just let you know. Alright, so with that, we are going to do cross questions on proposal votes on the standing rule. Unless there are any other motions.
I'm
moving. Yes.
I like the motion to strike the word sign.
There's been a motion.
Second.
There's been a motion to strike assigned outreach. Assigned outreach requirements designated by the Vice President of Outreach. There's been a second.
Second.
Oh, okay. Alright, so we're going to move the discussion on that versus representative block.
Great. Or PP block. Yeah, if VP Pritchett wants to explain, please explain.
Thank you. I just want to reiterate what I said earlier. I think that it is the responsibility of the student assembly members and the elected representatives to look at the place provided by the Vice President of Outreach, decide which events they're going to go to, and have a structure in place where they will have to be accountable. It's not necessary for the VP Outreach to actually take each individual person which event you have to go to. That is the DD sincere what it's intended to do. You're showing to a vendor not because you want to, not because they're your constituent, but because someone else told you you have to go to. And I think that is dishonest, I think it's handholding, and I think it's unnecessary.
Alright, great. Go ahead. Speaking time is 30 seconds. You're limited.
As a pastor that this was perfect was, I highly doubt that this is going to do anything. Quite frankly, guys, you really think that Batista is going to order you to go to events that don't matter. The entire point behind it is so that she makes sure that you're not going to ridiculous events, that you're not going to an ice cream social for 5 minutes and that's going to count as your outreach event. I think we are wasting a significant amount of time talking about the most minute details of this thing when all of you should be doing outreach. And if the fact if Batista thinks that you're going to some ridiculous outreach event, I think there's a problem with that. I'm going to motion to vote on this. I think no one's really going to be changed by great debate on whether or not she advises you on your outreach event. So I move to call the question on this.
I make some respect.
There's going to call the question. There's second. Second. Any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to vote on VP Pritchett's amendment to strike for signed outreach requirements designated by the Vice President of Outreach for such that clause. Those in favor of the amendment, please raise your flag. Those opposed to the amendment, please raise your flag. Any abstentions? Abstentions. By a vote of 3-13-0, the amendment failed.
Now the question.
There's a call to question on the full standing rule resolution.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. He just motioned to call the question before you. If you've been seconded, is there any dissent? Well, if there's dissent, we're now going to vote to vote on the standing rule. If you would like to end the discussion on the standing rule resolution and move on to other business, then please raise your flag. Those opposed. Abstentions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Those opposed, raise your flag. Like, you gotta raise your flag. And abstention. Alright, vote 15 to 0, discussion is closed at 18:30. So we are now probably going to call the question to the entire resolution, entire standing rules. Remember that they can be amended, debated in spring or any other weekly meeting we have. Let's do a roll call, Chelsea. How about that? Which one will we get?
Yes.
It's been a motion to essentially push the procedure and the SAC rules in person and the budget after that. It's a second, but we're going to go ahead and do it. So I think this will be the final drop.
The second is a new $50 in
I wonder if they could give them the community. Say it again. The changes to the name of the new office.
The second two are more, these are changes that were requested by the FDA. You can get earlier this afternoon to be used again. The first change would occur in section 2.1.1, in which right now if you register with the student activities office by the second Monday in September, and they'd like to be specified the date set by the FDA, simply to give that to you more flexibility and give you more flexibility in terms of community work, because if there are more problems in the future, then and the second thing is on the last page that they informed the data. Despite for a portal fund, advertising has gone up $1, so changing section 9 and 8 from $63 to $188 to $64 to $188. I don't think it's going to be particularly something, but of course, if anyone has a question, you have to go.
Okay, well that's been explained. There's a motion on the floor to amend the amendment resolution. I'm going to go through these one more time. We're changing the spring to fall, changing anywhere that the student activities office appears to reflect us, changing what you can say, the first Monday of September back to the date that is set for the FAOC, by the FAOC, and then $63 to $64. Is there a second to that motion? To the amendment that the representative has gone to. Thank you. Seconded. We're going to vote on that because it's simple. As I said, is there any defense to this motion? Great. We're accepting that amendment. Alright. Now we're opening back to general discussion on this actual resolution as it stands now. If there's any changes you'd like to have a speaker's list, please let me know. Wow. Okay, how finish this thing? Operating budget. We have 2 minutes to present, and I'd like to thank you for your time.
trying to use like a whole different account. And what often has been doing for me is in the past, how much we've spent money and taking up from fraud to 7,100. We're really trying to make sure that we're going to be using our funds. Because that is how we're going to use our funds. Like, I think if you look at the FY4200 and what we're looking at now, they're in line with previous expenses. And we're really looking at what we've been spending in the past. And it needs to be the more rapid. Now, something to keep in mind, especially if there may be questions about the special projects funding, right? So we would use special projects funding, right? So that doesn't mean that we're no longer prioritizing special projects funding. And we have about $30,000 in our reserve funds we can always allocate to the account. So it's probably means to remember me that we've got the money for all these special projects funds. We've suddenly run out of the account. We have an account to reallocate money.
Next is
Representative
Neil. Is there any possibility that
structure, you can always be outpaced and think. You can always come here and, you know, it's turned out to be happening in the year, which means that, you know, we have any administration from the data.
Let's go through your committee first. Thank you. Come ask for money. Next is Judy Batista.
I just have a quick question. What do we usually use the student essay money for, and why did we not use it in the last year?
I can answer.
I'm just curious. I don't know anything about it.
It's designed to send two individuals to
the SAP. I was the student essay rep last year. Peter and I went last fall, I believe, and it paid for us to go. The $500 covered two of us to go. It was an event in a hotel where we, it's a once a semester meeting with all of the SUNY student governments. Everyone sends two delegates. In the spring, Peter and I both were not able to go.
And
so that's why we spent no money.
So it's essentially the same as that. That is the end of the student movement, unless anybody else wants me to do the honors student movement. Is there a call for questions? It has been seconded. There is consent. Seeing that we are going to roll call on the essay on approving the essay question for this year. My best clerk ever, please call the roll.
Yes.
Padilla?
Yes.
Juan?
Yes.
Bonanza?
Yes.
Rucker?
Yes.
Padilla?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Reed?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
Juan? Bernie? Padilla?
Sure.
Defender?
Yes.
Cabot?
Yes.
Hansen?
Yes.
Sophie? William?
By vote of 19-0, the operating budget for 2013-2014 academic year has been passed. And we have money! Yay! Alright, the final order of business for the agenda for today is an overview of the new requirements that will be done by VP of Internal Operations of the 7th. Now, traditionally we have usually gone into an executive session, which means that anyone who is not an elected member of the NSA, including the trustees, would have to leave the room and the door into a book session. Because we are introducing some particularly new requirements that we kind of heard a little debate about earlier, among some other things, we kind of want the audience to begin to make sure that everybody knows what they can expect from us and what to hold us accountable for. Make sure that everybody, so this will not be an executive session, it will be open to the public. And you are free at any point to have questions for the audience.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.